Good morning. So I think we've heard it's Palm Sunday today. And so imagine the scene. We're in Jerusalem. Jewish families have traveled into Jerusalem from near and far for the Passover festival. The town is buzzing with energy, and there are like hundreds and thousands of people camped out and moving around Greater Jerusalem for this festival. And then the people hear that Jesus is coming. So let's dive into John's account of this in John 12, verses 12 to 19. I'm going to read the ESV version, which starts, "The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see that we are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him.'" So in this map, you see that Jesus is traveling from Bethany through Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, where Jesus sends his disciples to get the donkey, and then continues through Jerusalem, heading towards the temple. But on the way to Jerusalem, people were already coming out to meet him. And I can just picture the crowds, the joy and excitement in the air as Jesus is getting deeper and deeper into the crowds on the way to the temple. They've got their palm branches out, they're waving, which for them are symbols of victory and liberation. They're shouting Hosanna, which means in this context, save us now. It's also used to praise God for deliverance. They're saying it in support of Jesus as king, but it's both a cheer and a plea. The excitement in the air here is not quite one of just happiness and joy. It's actually more of the excitement of needs being met. They needed Jesus to come and save them. They wanted a king to help with the struggles of living under the rule of the Roman Empire that they were at the time. And so what they longed for was freedom from this Roman rule. And so they hear about the teaching of this man called Jesus. They hear about this man who is challenging the hypocrisy of some of the religious leaders. This man that is claiming to be the Son of God, and hearing about his miracles and how he's recently just raised a man from the dead. So they must be thinking, this is the one that we've been waiting for. This is the man that's going to rescue them, overthrow their oppressors, and create a perfect new kingdom just for the Jews. They had such high expectations of this new king, but their expectations, though, didn't quite match the reality of how Jesus was coming. I don't know if you've ever seen those Instagram versus reality memes. The ones where what you want is totally different from what you get. Yeah, here's an example. And that's what I was thinking of here when I was reading this. The people of Jerusalem were in for a surprise. They expected this conquering hero, probably a buff soldier type, someone with power and prestige. But what they got was a humble man of humble beginnings riding a donkey as a symbol of peace. And it was likely a huge contrast in their minds to what they had expected. They had misunderstood what God was doing through Jesus. But I think even with the best intentions, we can misunderstand what God is doing, both back then and today. Our plans and desires don't always align with his. So for example, for myself, I did a placement year when I was at university. So instead of doing the standard 3 years, I did 2, And then I worked for a year before going back to uni for my final year. And in that year of work, I moved to Slough. And I worked there and moved there where the job was based. And it actually went really well. I really, really hoped that after I had graduated, I can go back and get a permanent job at this company. And so when it was time to apply, I was kind of confident. I thought it was going to go well. My old colleagues had said really positive things. And honestly, I thought this would be for me. I did some interviews and I prayed to God, please let me get this role because I'd love to go back. And I had made friends there. I'd found a church family there. And I thought I'd be able to settle down there. I had really wanted it. And I thought that that's what God wanted for me. But it didn't happen. I didn't get that job. And instead, I had to look for something else. I actually went to an event that I'd heard about in London, and the company there asked if I could just come and do an interview. I didn't even have to apply, and I just got the job. And it turned out to be a much better opportunity for me, and 10 years later, here I am. But I think I knew God had something good planned, but I underestimated how great it could have been. No shade to Slough, I'm sure that would still have been good.
I don't know, actually.
I think the Jews then didn't understand it yet, but Jesus was about to give them something far, far greater than the freedom of the Roman rule that they had in their mind. He wasn't the expected conqueror that they had planned for or wanted, but he did come to conquer the forces of sin and death, the things that are separating us from God. He came to give them a transformed life filled with purpose and freedom. Through him, we have the hope of eternity with God, a promise that goes way beyond any worldly kingdom and outlasts any reign on this earth. And I think there are two things that we can do about this. One is to share our stories. In John 12, verse 18, it says, many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. And this, it feels like a small thing to call out, but it really reminded me how powerful our testimonies can be. It can be just a great and authentic way for others to encounter Jesus. And even already hearing the testimonies this morning, I think they're just such powerful stories of how Jesus is working in our lives today. And even in this verse, the small act of one story spreading from person to person in Jerusalem intrigued people enough for them to find out more, so they went out to meet him. And I'm sure I've missed lots of opportunities to share my own story and testimony with others, but I want to make the most of these opportunities going forward, because we're called to share our own stories of how Jesus has been working in our lives to bring others to him. And I think the other point is to make God our priority. Let me read what happens after verse 19 from verse 23, which says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. I think here Jesus is saying that we need to put 100% of our priority, emphasis, and effort into the will of God. And those who want to stay in the world that they love so much over Christ is showing that they love the world too much to really, truly follow him. I want to read a part of Paul's letter to the Colossians as well that I think makes this more practical. And that's in Colossians 3, verses 5 to 11. And I'm reading the Message version, which says, and that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you like, whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it. And grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. While we know that there are areas like these that we struggle with and need to let go of, I think there are also areas that we can look towards and focus on to help move our relationship with Christ into our number one spot, to our top priority. And I personally have been trying to make the most of time where I'd usually be procrastinating or just wasting time. And last week, every morning, before work, I would take a little walk around the block, really quick, but I would use that time to just pray and try and listen to what God might be saying to me. Instead of scrolling through Instagram on the tube to work, I've been trying to go through the Gospels and aiming to read a chapter a day. Or maybe if you're organized, try scheduling time in your calendar ahead of time, and that way you can use that time to do whatever it is that you need to do to draw closer to God. Take that extra time today to think about how you may need to focus more on Christ. So Jesus' arrival on Palm Sunday wasn't just a triumphant entry. It was the beginning of an important week leading to his sacrifice on the cross and resurrection. Through these events, he accomplished what the people of Jerusalem couldn't fully grasp at the time, a victory over sin and death, offering hope and salvation for all of us who believe. I'm going to end in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your sacrifice, which opened up the door to a relationship with God for every generation following. Lord, I just pray that you give us the boldness that we need to share our stories of your work in our lives, Lord, and proclaim this good news with the people that we know in our lives. Lord, I pray that you guide us away from worldly desires, Lord, and instead help us focus on the promise of your eternal life, Lord. I just pray that we continue to focus on you, Lord, and make you our priority in our lives. I pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Absolutely fantastic, Tara. Thank you. I think we need to just to respond to what Tara shared there. And if the band could come up, it'd be really helpful. I think we'll just have a moment or two when we can pray, you know. And I think particularly what Tara mentioned about sharing your testimony. You know, if you think, oh, I would like to be more confident in sharing my testimony, it'd be really good to pray for that. And then the other thing that Tara just said about living wholeheartedly for Jesus, that verse from the message that just said, we don't want to have a life that is shaped by things and feelings, but we want to have a life that is shaped by God. What an amazing verse that is. So can I just invite you to stand with me? We'll just sing a song. We'll draw things to a close, but we'll sing a song. But I do want to give us the opportunity for prayer and to pray for one another. Father, thank you. In a moment, if you would particularly like to be prayed for, to either be bolder to share your story, or secondly, to not to live a life shaped by things and feelings, but by the Lord. I'm going to just invite you to come down, and a few of us will be down there, and we'll pray for you. And we just pray that God's Spirit would come and fall over you. And as we sing this song, just invite you to, in a moment, to come down, and we'll pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this Palm Sunday story. Lord, what we always want isn't always what you give, but you know that, we know that you have a perfect plan for us. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we ask, Holy Spirit, just come and cement something of what you have said to us in our lives right now, we pray.